You can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. I feel like I sort of have to catch my breath. I heard all you out there that wanted to clap. That's good. That's welcomed here. This is a joyful day, and I'm gonna jump right in to a text of scripture here on that first Easter Sunday. I'm going to Luke chapter 24. You can turn there in your pew Bible if you like. It's on page 738, or you can turn in your device. But I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Luke 24, and I'm going to start in verse 36 and just read to verse 43. Hear the word of the Lord. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to pray with me again. Lord Jesus, you speak today through your Holy Spirit, and you speak through your scripture, through your word. And so I pray this morning that you would open our eyes to what is really true and really real about you and your resurrection. Give us something concrete this morning, something lived, something embodied, just as you embodied the resurrection body. Bring us to life through your resurrection, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? We don't get the resurrection, do we? I mean, how could we? Like, it's not something that we can easily wrap our heads around it. It doesn't fit into our categories of understanding. Right? We don't get the resurrection. The Jesus who was verifiably dead on Friday afternoon was then verifiably alive on Sunday morning. And in the moments that followed were these reports coming from different people in different places that they had seen and talked to the risen Jesus. And among these people were a group of women who saw him outside the tomb. And there were a few travelers who were on their way home from Jerusalem after the Passover festival, heading to a place called Emmaus. These people had seen and spoke to Jesus. And as Luke records the details of what happened after that wild Easter Sunday, with all of these reports of resurrection, we're told that Jesus' disciples, his closest companions, his closest friends, they didn't get it either. The text I just read, it sets the scene. It begins this way, while they were still talking about all this. And the all this that they were talking about were these reports that Jesus had been risen from the grave. The disciples, they were trying to wrap their head around what people were saying about Jesus. They didn't get it. Of course they didn't. I mean, this kind of thing doesn't happen, does it? And just like the disciples that day, we don't get the resurrection. Because people don't just up and raise from the dead. But we don't get the resurrection in another way, too. You see, the text tells us what happened when those early disciples began to get the resurrection, when they began to realize that the impossible had actually happened. We're told in the text that in that moment that they began to get it, they were startled and frightened. We're also told that they were troubled. We can't miss this. This was the primary emotional reaction to the resurrection from the very beginning. They were frightened and startled. When Mark gives his account of this story, he describes that they felt with words like alarmed. They were alarmed. He uses words like trembling and bewildered. You see, this is what happens to a person when you start to get the resurrection. At first, you're terrified. But that's not what happens to us, is it? We don't get the resurrection in that way. And I'm guessing for most of us, we've never felt that on an Easter Sunday. For us, it's all joy, and it's hopeful, and it's optimistic, and it's inspiring. And I want to suggest to you this morning that maybe you've missed something important about the resurrection that those early disciples did not miss. That maybe you've missed the resurrection itself for what it truly is. You see, on one hand, we don't get the resurrection because we've never seen someone rise from the dead. Of course we haven't. But on the other hand, we don't get it because we've spiritualized its meaning. We've reduced the resurrection down to an idea. For us, the resurrection is simply a pleasant spiritual idea. The idea that there can be life after death. The idea that light conquers darkness. The idea that the phoenix will rise from the ashes. The idea of a fresh start and a new beginning. An idea. But Luke is giving us this account, the one I read. He's giving it to us specifically, this account of the resurrection, in order to make clear that the resurrection isn't a spiritual idea, but rather it's an embodied reality. You see, the resurrection isn't a spiritual principle. It is a physical event, a flesh and bones reality that you can see with your eyes and touch with your hands. And that's what Jesus says to his first disciples in that moment, right? He said, "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. Touch me and see. A spiritual principle can't be touched. A spiritual idea doesn't eat a piece of broiled fish." I mean, what a bizarre detail in the story, right? It's because Luke is telling us what happened. And when you're making up a story, you don't make up a story with a piece of broiled fish. The resurrection isn't a spiritual idea. It is an embodied reality. And this is also how the Apostle John spoke about the resurrection. He describes the risen Lord with these words. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have touched." See, the first thing to get about the resurrection, if we're really going to get it, is that we're not talking about a spiritual idea. We're not. We're not talking about a new beginning principle. We're not talking about the person Jesus we're talking about the person of Jesus who entered a tomb verifiably alive or verifiably dead, but emerged from it on the third day verifiably alive. And when you're first awakened to that, you're not overcome with joy. You're not filled with hope. You're not inspired, at least not at first. You're startled and frightened. Because the resurrection isn't an idea. It's an embodied reality. And here's why it matters. It matters because ideas and principles don't do much for us, do they? At least they don't do anything concrete for us. Like, an idea is simply an idea unless something concrete happens, unless something is done. Like when I see on my social media feed someone who's gone through something difficult in their life, like maybe a cancer diagnosis, and someone comments on their post saying, "I'm sending positive vibes your way." Right? It's a nice idea. It's sincere. It's from the heart. But it doesn't really do anything, does it? Or maybe you've gone through something difficult in your life and someone said to you, "You know what? Everything happens for a reason." Or, "You've got this." Or, "Everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out for you." Right? These are nice ideas, but they don't help us all that much. Why? Because spiritual ideas have never really done anything concrete for anybody. Because it's an idea. They don't change your life. They don't affect the outcome of your future. And this is what sets Jesus apart from all the other philosophies, all the other thinkers, all the other world religions. They are all grounded in nice spiritual ideas, but they offer nothing concrete about your future. Even the worldviews that shape our current cultural thinking, they're based on ideas, on principles. Right? We say to each their own. You do you. Right? Follow your truth. Right? These are all spiritual ideas. We need to name them for what they are. They're spiritual ideas. They're principles. And so it turns out that only Jesus offers the world something more concrete than a nice idea. Something that we can actually build a future upon. And he's proven it, that he's something more than a spiritual idea, and he's proven it through the resurrection of the body. Whoa. You see, if Jesus wasn't raised flesh and bones from the dead, then only his spirit would live on. Only his principles would live on, right? His ideas would live on. His legacy would live on. But that's not what happened. That first Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave and put flesh and bones on the spiritual idea of resurrection. He made something concrete out of something spiritual. And he gave us a certain hope for an embodied and restored future beyond the grave. And it's good news. Not long before this day, this first Easter Sunday, Jesus was comforting a woman named Martha. She was grieving the death of her brother. And Jesus consoled her with these words. He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." And what Jesus is saying is there isn't one without the other. There is no life, no everlasting life at least, without resurrection. There is no life without resurrection. Because without resurrection, life is just an idea, right? Life is just a spiritual concept. And Jesus points to himself in that moment and he says, "I have what you really long for, Martha. I have what you long for, life for your brother, life for yourself, life for the world, but it comes only through me and only through resurrection." It's remarkable. Later, the Apostle John, he would have this face-to-face encounter with the risen Jesus. And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, "John, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death." The point is, Jesus doesn't simply give us the idea of life after death. He is the Lord of it. His resurrection is the proof. He holds the keys. In the simplest of terms, everlasting life comes through Jesus Christ, And that life is grounded in a flesh and bones resurrection. Resurrection is not a spiritual idea. It's an embodied reality. And when you get that, when you begin to get that, you move from being terrified of the risen Christ to being filled with joy and hope, a real hope, which is what happened to the first disciples in the story, right? Their terror turned to triumph. You see, when you get the resurrection, when you really get the physical, embodied resurrection of Jesus, we come to see that it means at least three things. I had to make it three because we'd be here all day if I didn't. But it means at least three things. First, it means that your future will be a physical future. That's what the resurrection means. If you've attached your life to Jesus, your future will be a physical future. Now, you might not have noticed this, but I'm at a certain age where I'm realizing how frail my body is becoming. And maybe you're at the same kind of age. When I was younger, I would kind of injure myself playing soccer, but now I injure myself when I'm sleeping. I don't know if that is true for any of you, right? Like I go to bed and I wake up with a shoulder injury. You know, it's like that was not there before, and it's like 3 weeks before it's healed, and then it just happens again the day after it's healed. Does that happen to you, or is it just me? Just me, okay, yeah. Well, you give it time. And you know those first three steps out of bed for me in the morning, they sound like someone snapping a rubber band. You know, you got that before? Just the ankle just kind of finding its place where it should belong. And I know there are some people in here who are even older than I am, okay? So I feel like I can share that. And we know how frail our bodies can get, or maybe you've seen it in a loved one. Or maybe you've had a debilitating illness or injury and you've lost the use of parts of your body. Or maybe for you, it's you feel like you don't fit in the body you've been given. It doesn't feel home for you. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that your future won't be some spiritual idea, but rather an embodied future where you will be fully at home and alive and at peace in a body that fits you just right. A perfected body. A body that can run and dance and eat and sing and hug and hold. A body that can see the beauty and brilliance of all that God has made. You will smell freshly baked buns, and you'll smell freshly mowed grass. And you'll hear songbirds and children laughing and the saints lifting their voices to praise the risen Lord, a body fully alive. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you will finally get something concrete in your future. You will get resurrection. Your future is physical. But our resurrection joy and hope isn't just about our perfected bodies. It's about the embodied life that we get to live in God's future. I have a friend who I meet for coffee on a regular basis, and we chat about all kinds of things. We talk about faith, we talk about family, we talk about how awful the Canucks are. Maybe you have a friend like that. My friend is a First Nations man, and he's given me a perspective on the world that I never would have without him. And I asked him if I could share this story, and he graciously said yes. My friend has had a hard life. He doesn't know his birth mom, and he grew up in a home far away from the place that he was born. And he struggled with addiction for years. But he's been sober for many, many years now. And I really, really like my friend. And sometimes on particularly hard days, he looks me in the eye and he asks me, "Keith, why do some people have it so easy while everything seems so hard for me?" I've been dealt a bad hand in life. And you know what? He's right. He's been dealt a bad hand compared to me. And this is true for many people in our world. They've been dealt a more difficult hand than other people. Maybe they grew up in an abusive home or to parents incapable of raising them. Or maybe they've struggled through life going from one mental health crisis to the next. But here's what we cannot miss. The bodily resurrection of Jesus means that their future will not be like their present. Your future will not be like your present. Because resurrection means that the broken vessels that we live in will one day be made new. They'll be complete. They'll be perfected. Which means the hand that you've been given isn't the only hand that you'll be given. What you feel is missing here and now will not be missing in your resurrection future. This is not an idea. It's an embodied reality. You will be raised to new life, a new physical resurrected future. Because of Jesus, our future is physical. And it's good news. It's the first thing. The second thing to get about the resurrection is that it shows us how important this world is to Jesus. This world is important to God, and He is going to heal it. In his book, For All God's Worth, N.T. Wright makes the point that if the resurrection means that Jesus Christ is only raised in a spiritual sense, then it is only about me and finding a new dimension for my personal spiritual life. But if Jesus is truly risen from the dead, truly, Christianity becomes good news for the whole world. Not simply my spiritual life, but for every embodied person in the world, for all that God has made. Do you see, the resurrection is good news, not because it's a private religious idea, but rather it's a holistic rescue of everything that God has made. It's not simply that you matter to God, but all matter matters to God. And the resurrection is the proof that God's intent is to take the broken and imperfect things in His good creation, and He wants to make them new and lasting. Broken and imperfect bodies, broken and imperfect relationships, broken and imperfect ecosystems. The resurrection shows us that this world is important to Jesus, and He's going to heal it. And when we get that about the resurrection, it begins to change the way we live. Right? The resurrection, it gives us a deeper love for everything that God has made. It should make us plant gardens and paint beautiful pictures, and it should make us appreciate sunsets in a whole new way. But it also makes us see people different too. The resurrection gives us a vision of the future for all the poor and the powerless in our world. A vision where the image of God is restored in them especially. A vision where injustice and oppression and poverty are erased in God's future world. And this vision of resurrected life, it's not simply intended for me. It's not simply for you. It's for every person and everything God has made. It's the gospel. The resurrection shows us that God loves the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God's going to heal the world through Jesus Christ. It's not an idea. It's an embodied reality, which brings me to the third thing we need to know about the resurrection. When we get the resurrection, we understand that resurrection life begins now. today. It begins the moment you say that you will die to your old life apart from God and unite your life with Christ. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Resurrection begins the moment you put your faith in Jesus, the moment you die to the old. And it's in that moment that he raises you into something new, not simply in a spiritual sense, but an embodied reality. Jesus says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And when the single seed of your life is buried in God's hands, he raises up so much more than you could ever do on your own. Right? He gives you healing for your hurt and forgiveness for your wrongs. He gives you a purpose to live for and an adventure to cure your boredom. He gives you hope and a future. And so maybe you're here today and you find yourself starting to get the resurrection. Maybe you're starting to get it. Like, as I've been pouring in over these things this week, it's like, Jesus, I think I'm finally starting to get it. And maybe you're there today with me. You're starting to get the resurrection, not as a spiritual idea, but as an embodied reality, that you're starting to get that God can do more than you previously thought possible, that he rose Jesus from the dead, that you're starting to get that your own everlasting life needs a resurrection in order to make it concrete. And you're starting to get the hope and joy that a physical future will bring you. You're starting to get how important and beautiful everything that God has made truly is. You're starting to get that your resurrection can begin today by placing your old life in Jesus' hands in order to be made new. You're starting to get it because Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the resurrection and the life. He is the first and the last. The living one, the one who was dead, but now look, is alive forever and ever. Amen. You're getting resurrection. And perhaps the greatest proof of Jesus' resurrection is when we see what he has done in the life of another person. We have three people being baptized today. I want to invite the worship team to come up. We have three people being baptized today, and the Bible says this about them. It says this about them and about everyone who has gone all in with Jesus. It says, we were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. These three, they're leaving behind an old life and are being raised to a new one in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And this is their story.